Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and this is part 9 of On the Witness Stand, Some Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. Well, we've gotten past the history, and we're ready now to begin the teachings of the Jehovah Witnesses. This section is entitled False Interpretations Leading to False Teachings. You'll notice I use the word false all the way through this study, because that's what I think of the Jehovah Witnesses. False people in terms of leadership, false teachings, false prophecies. It's just false from beginning to end. And so in this section of the book, I've basically put a glossary together. It's almost like a dictionary. It's in alphabetical order. It won't feel like a dictionary as I'm sharing it with you. But there is within the listings a dialogue that I've set up, an imaginary dialogue that will allow the witness to come to the stand, and then I will cross-examine him, and then he will talk. For the most part, I get to win all these, you know, because I wrote it all. But I think you'll agree, if you're a Christian person, you'll agree that I've simply given this imaginary witness a dose of God's Word. Let's just start at the beginning. All these are in alphabetical order except the very first one, because the first one's a number. And that number, well, what number comes to your mind when you think of Jehovah Witnesses? How about 144,000? Does that sound familiar? It's a number lifted from Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. Which there in Revelation is the total of the remnant of Israel, the Jewish people. In witness thought, though, the 144,000 are the anointed saints, Jew and Gentile, and largely Jehovah Witnesses, who will be in heaven. They're the little flock referred to by Jesus, according to them. They include the 12 apostles, of course. We've got to include them. And Bible saints, but New Testament only. And many others, up to 1935. That's the date, the year, 1935. In 1986, only 9,000 elderly Jehovah's Witnesses were known to be going to heaven as a part of this elect group. Others being recruited from 1936 to our own day will be on the earth forever. If they're obedient now, of course, and throughout the forever, the millennium, the 1,000 years. Yeah, that's what they have found in the scripture. Yeah. We'll talk more about some of those things later. I'm just touching it right now. But what does the Word say? And that's what we will ask on every one of these entries. What does the Word say? In John 3, verses 3 to 7, it says, you must be born again. And so I have a question. I'm the questioner. And then we'll have JWA, the Jehovah Witness answer. And then eventually we'll have the CA, the Christian answer. And that's how this is set up all the way through this section. But the question for years, the verse that's here quoted, you must be born again, was spoken to people all over the world when the gospel was preached to them. But now we learn from the Watchtower Society that all such preaching is in vain. Could you explain that, please? And so my imaginary JW says, of course. In a moment of clear inspiration, Judge Rutherford defined that in the year 1935, the last of the anointed ones who will make up the 144,000 was chosen. These anointed were the born again, and they are now mostly all in heaven. So those to whom we reach out today are being prepared for an earthly kingdom. And so my question back to him, so it's your studied opinion that anyone who claims to be born again today is deceiving others and needs to be kept quiet? Well, we will let Jehovah make decisions like that, but we must be true to what God has revealed to us through our inspired leaders. Oh, yeah, I'd like to share with you someday about how those leaders have been so very wrong so many times. But for now, let's explore the idea of being born again. Scripturally, personally, have you been born again? Oh, no, sir. Because of what I just said to you, I have no such expectations. Well, what do you think it means, this rebirth thing? Were you ever privileged to meet such a person? No, but I've heard about them. They're holy people. True examples of the Master. Oh, I dare say. Do you ever expect to meet these people? To see them, fellowship with them? Well, I certainly hope that after Armageddon, when the saints inherit the earth, that kingdom people from heaven will mingle with us as they rule the world with Jesus. Ah, here's the Christian answer. I so hate to dash this man's hope, but Jesus specifically said that if a man is not born again, he won't even see the kingdom of God, much less participate in it. The kingdom, biblically, is made up of those who have been born again and were then caught up to meet the Lord in the air and then made the trip back to earth with their newly resurrected bodies. How anyone could think that there was a cutoff date before the physical return of Jesus is beyond me and way beyond the scriptures, but it shows us all just how powerful is the deception that binds these people. When I'm preaching around Jehovah's Witnesses, I make sure to emphasize that, yes, you can and must be born again. There's still time. It reminds me of the letter circulating in Paul's day with his forged signature, saying that the day of the Lord had already passed. When do we stop following idle tales? Let's go over to Romans 8, verses 9 to 11, for another head-to-head with a Jehovah's Witness imaginary. In the New World Translation, by the way, it says, if anyone does not have Christ's Spirit, this person does not belong to him. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, God will make your mortal bodies alive through His Spirit that resides in you. Question. Sir, take the stand. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Well, yeah, those who were the anointed ones, the 144,000, have already been chosen as of 1935. Oh, then you do not claim to have the Spirit? You would call it the force of God dwelling in you? Well, that's correct. There's divine influence around us for sure, but the anointing of the Spirit is for the heavenly beings. We are now preparing people for the earthly kingdom which Jesus shall rule. Again, the Christian answer, this is a real shame and a great opportunity for us to prove by testimony and life that the real Spirit of God, the person, actually lives in you, and the so-called witness can't open his mouth. Romans 8 is just chock full of references to the Spirit, as they call it. Regardless, I've got Spirit in small s there. Regardless of the personality issues in this regard, it's still clear by the chapter that a person not indwelt by this force does not belong to God, and neither will he be resurrected from the dead. And Jesus adds that if a man is not born again by the Spirit, he cannot even see the kingdom of God, much less enter it. How about Revelation 7 itself, where it talks about the 144,000? I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And they sang a new song. These have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These follow the Lamb wherever he goes. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So, sir, will you take the stand? Let me ask you, are you a part of the 144,000? No. Oh, no. That number was reached in 1935. And the ones who were of that number have now just about left us for their reward. Oh, I dare say they have. Have you read in the text here that the 144,000 are from the ranks of the Israelites? Well, Judge Rutherford discovered that God's people are the new Israel, and that the promises of God refer to us today. But 12,000 from each tribe. The original Israel was divided into tribes, you know. Are you saying that these 144,000 mostly Watchtower members identified their tribe as well as the fact that they were spiritually Jews? I assume that Jehovah knows their tribe and can count well his people. And were you aware that singing was forbidden in witness congregations for quite some time, yet all the while this text that we're talking about, it was talking about a song they're going to be given in heaven? Yes, of course. And are you absolutely sure that the men who founded this religion of yours and those who followed after them, with all the mistaken prophecies and false teachings and changes in doctrine from year to year and rejection of all the other Christians in the world, that this group can be said to be blameless and perfectly honest people? And although the New American Standard Bible uses the word chaste in regards to their relationships with the opposite gender, many translations, including your own, use the word virgin. Were all these people of past generations until 1935 truly singles for the Lord? Well, virginity and chastity are not necessarily words for singles, but yes, we do believe God anointed these persons, made them holy, and has long since received them into the glory of the kingdom of God. And the rest of you, after 1935? Well, we wait with great expectancy the organization of the kingdom of God on earth, of which we will be a part if we are faithful. If. This is all, folks, totally the figment of Judge Rutherford's active imagination. At best. At worst, he was visited by demon powers. He believed he saw a flash of light, that's true. Or at least experienced an inner light that suddenly let him know that 1935 is the cutoff date. That all the 144,000 have now been sealed. The Gentiles are now Jews. That no one after 1935 could be born again or filled with the Spirit, that all who work today are working for an earthly kingdom. Heaven is full. What a sham. What a shame. May God have mercy on some and call them out. Hey, maybe you will be the means of that happening, dear listener. What do you think? Let's talk about Adventism just for a moment. We talked about it in the history section. Adventism. This is the second entry in my study. Like Arianism, Adventism is a stream of thought without which the Jehovah's Witnesses would not exist. And though it had many strong biblical elements, its focus was on pinpointing the exact time of Jesus' return. It was the birthplace of much confusion in the church and greatly influenced witness founder Charles T. Russell and the society that he helped form for many years, even to this day. So we got time for one more, don't we? Yeah, let's talk about annihilation. No, that looks like it's going to be a long section. You know, we better stop right here. Annihilation. That's a key dogma of the Watchtower Society. I want you to get that well. So the next time you see this study, it'll be part, 10 coming up. This is 9. Part 10 coming up, we'll talk about annihilation and a few other things. So glad you could come with us today. Many other studies like this on this site. I hope you'll look around and find what's there. Check in from time to time to see what's going on right here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. And I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.